Hi, listeners. Welcome to the She Speaks Life podcast, a weekly encouragement where we share our God stories. I'm your host, Jamie Elizabeth, and I am so glad you are spending time with us today to listen. Hi, friend. Welcome back to She Speaks Life. I am so excited to have podcaster of Finding Faith Above, Shelby Hosfield, with me. She is sharing about her faith journey of praying to God as a little girl for truth, to leaving the Mormon church and walking without God, to then finding the true love of her Savior, Jesus Christ. Shelby, I'm so glad you're here. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I really do appreciate it, and I'm excited to get to share.
I am just thrilled to have you share on this specific topic about your journey of being raised in the Mormon church and having these bad ideas about God. And I think there's so many that can relate to your story. And I am really just looking forward to you sharing a little backstory about yourself and where this whole thing started for you, where you're like, okay, something just is not right here.
Sure. So I guess we just start at the beginning. So as a as a little kid, I grew up in a home that actually was mixed faith. So my dad was Mormon and my mom was not, which is not normal. That's kind of an atypical Mormon household. My parents got married pretty young, and my dad had been introduced to the Mormon church when he was in high school. And after my parents got married and he really was wanting to, you know, give some structure to the family, he went back to the Mormon church. And I think it kind of took my mom a little bit by surprise, but she, you know, loves family and she wanted to make it work. And so she really just decided, you know, even though she went through, I think, seven sets of missionaries or something, she was not going to join the Mormon church, but she was going to make this work. And still 40 years later, they still are married, which is crazy. But it did introduce a very interesting environment for my sister and I to grow up in, because we went to church with my dad and my mom. We knew that my mom was not on board, but she wasn't going to fight that either. She wanted us to have that stability with my dad as well. And, but she was not totally on board. So when you were talking about, you know, praying at 8 years old, so at 8 years old is when you're typically baptized in the Mormon church. And it's just kind of like a rite of passage. It isn't like a decision that you make to accept Christ or whatnot. It's a, at 8 years old, that's what you do. And for me, because my mom was not and my dad was, I actually had to make a decision, which is not an easy thing to do at 8 years old. And I had to make that decision to either upset my mom or upset my dad. And that's where the prayers really began. And so really just questioning, you know, God, is this true? Is this true? Is this true? And of course, he's not going to answer crazy questions. I wanted a yes, you know, just go ahead and do it so you can join the club and hang out with everybody and be like everybody else. But he doesn't answer things like that. And so it was very confusing, you know, as a kid kind of growing up in that. But I also think that it was now that I'm older, I see how important and how he works within us from the very beginning, because I think he made me this questioner for a reason. And it's led me to where I am, which is beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, that's got to be hard being torn between the two at such a young age and not knowing what to do and finding, wow, both my parents have different faith beliefs and this is, you know, awkward for me to be torn between the two. And then, so you went for the Mormon religion and then you ended up leaving at 18. So take us to like what brought you to that point of wanting to just leave that.
Well, I think when I did officially get baptized. And now this is kind of crazy. I didn't actually know this until a few years ago, that because I was not baptized at eight, I will always and forever be considered a convert. I didn't know that, even though I grew up going to church every Sunday. I'm considered a convert because I did not get baptized at 8. I was 10, which means I had to have missionaries and I had to have people come and talk to me and make sure that, you know, I actually wanted to do this. And it was, you know, it was difficult with, I think, both my parents. I think this was being the first child. It was like a big decision that happened. But for me, it was like I just wanted to be accepted where I was, and going to church and not being baptized as an 8, 9, 10-year-old is abnormal. And I stood out as somebody who was abnormal, and I wanted to just be part of it. And I really was just hungry for God. I can honestly say that I really did want to know Him. And I kept learning about church, but I wasn't learning who He was or building relationship with Him. And I say that now, but at that age, I didn't really know what that was, but I was hungry for truth. I remember just sitting there and being like, I just want them. I want somebody to just tell me the truth of who He is. I can even picture it in my head sitting in a classroom and thinking that, like, I just want to know the truth of who He is. And I guess, you know, bringing it up to when I officially left, when I was about 17 and I was in high school and I had a world history class. And, you know, world history is really just like the history of religion because religion dictates so much of the world. And right. I learned for the first time that there are other ways of doing this. It isn't just either you believe in God this way or you don't believe in God at all. There was other things. And I guess I never really had recognized that there was other ways of understanding who God was in a very different way. So it kind of started to open my mind and I started to really question a whole lot more again. And I kind of had a little bit of a rebellious spirit in there too, because I don't feel like I had that relationship of God as my foundation. It was like I had all these rules, but I didn't have like a relationship with Him. So I was like, they're just rules, so I'm going to break them. And so I really was not living like a very godly life. But I had this dream, and I know this is going to sound crazy. And sometimes I think when I say this, people are like, what, this dream? But it was very pivotal for me.
Yeah.
I had this dream that I went to the supermarket and Jesus was there, and everybody was really excited that Jesus was at the supermarket. And of course, He was in the fruit section, which I didn't read the Bible, so I had no concept of why that was important. But He was in the fruit section, and I got to the fruit section and I'm like looking for Him and I couldn't find Him. And then I see Him off in the distance and I'm like, I think that's Him, but I don't know if I really know Him. And the biggest part about it was He didn't know me. Mm-hmm. And that, for whatever reason, whether it was just a silly dream in my subconscious or really was God trying to get to me, I don't know. But I do know that that dream had a significant impact on me in the fact that I clearly don't know Him going to church where I am. And so when I was 18, you're supposed to move on to like the next thing in church. And I graduated high school, I went to college, and I made the decision, I'm never going back. And I tried to figure out why for so long. Why was I so insistent on not doing it anymore? Like, I think it was a culmination of things, but it was like there was not even a question to me whether or not I would find a church in college. I was not planning on that. And really until even just the last few months did I really, like reflecting back on a lot of this, realize why, in fact, I left, which was pretty substantial. But
you know, I can relate in a way of becoming a Christian as a little girl, but never cultivating that personal relationship with the Lord until way into my late 20s. And it's kind of similar to where you're wanting more. You know you're not getting filled up. There's just something like missing, right? And you can't quite put your finger on it. I was a rebellious teenager, and because I wasn't walking with the Lord, because I had no idea what it was like to have this intimate relationship. And it's not until I was seeking and was intentional in wanting that. And unfortunately, it was after many life crises that, you know, happened to where I was like, oh, you know, God, it's the only one left. You know, what is this whole thing that people love to go to these women Bible studies? You know, what is that all about? Maybe there's something to that that I am totally missing out on. So I can relate with that and seeing how, you know, there's people in our life that can make Christianity legalistic and have it be about, you know, rules and, you know, and just totally miss out on the relationship piece of it. And so that naturally makes you feel like, well, that doesn't seem very attractive, you know? What I mean, why would I want to live that way? And so it's really just, it's so important for us to get to know him in that close, personal, intimate way. So you carried through, okay, Mormon, you left that. So what were the things that prompted you to leave?
Well, I think that the biggest thing, and like I said, I couldn't identify it at the time. I just knew I wasn't going back. I just knew that.
Yeah.
And I think having that class, having that weird dream, all the different things, it kind of just all culminated into, it was like, I'm not going back. But the problem is when you are part of something, I guess that is more legalistic, but it's all encompassing. So it's not just what you believe, it's how you dress, it's who you talk to, it's what movies you watch, it's how you operate through life. I mean, it's all encompassing. So when you make a decision to say, I don't know if I truly believe this, your brain kind of explodes a little bit because it's like everything that I knew is my foundation is now I'm just going to throw that out the window. And, you know, 85% of people who leave the church actually leave God altogether. Most become atheist or agnostic, which I don't even like using those words because I don't know if I would have considered myself that, but that's exactly what I did. So for about 5 years in college were my godless years. I just said, I don't want to deal with him. And for somebody who had been so involved in religion, I didn't even want to take a religion class in college. Like I didn't want anybody to talk to me about it. I didn't want to have anything to do with him, which is so sad, but it's what happened. And then when I got married, my husband and I, you know, we found out we were pregnant and I could feel my son's soul with me. And that was very eye-opening because it was like, okay, if I can feel his soul with me, that means there has to be a God. And that was like a big like moment as well. Then I'm like, okay, if there is a God, that means that I'm going to have to teach this little person how to walk with God. And I have no idea what I'm doing myself. Like I have absolutely zero clue how to do God with kids. I didn't have any good example of that. And, you know, it was my parents' fault. They tried, but I didn't know what I was doing. And so I kind of went on a search then. All right. So like, how am I going to find the truth of who God is? And I was very nervous and everything seemed like a big culture shock. And so I tried out a few churches. I actually, podcasting kind of started coming out then, I don't even know if it was really considered podcasting, but I would listen to different church sermons and try to just like adjust myself and like get into that. And then I joined a MOPS group. I don't know if you've ever heard of Mothers of Preschoolers. That was the first time I was like ever with other Christian women who truly had faith. And I was like, there's something different. Like I could see it like sitting with them. And I admit it, I was kind of jealous. I'm like, how do they just have faith? I don't have this. How do I get this? And I went about it, and I think all the wrong ways, because I still had never read the Bible. I didn't even really open the Bible. So I'm like, okay, I'm just going to like download faith somehow, but that's not the way it works. And and because of that, I think I really did end up, I didn't, again, have any sort of footing. So I made a lot of mistakes and I didn't find God for a very long time. So, I mean, from the time I was 18, when I left the church until I actually did find God was 20 years. And during that time, I had bounced around between different churches. I said I was Buddhist at one point. I was like all into the New Age and Oprah and Eckhart Tolle and all the stuff, right? Because I mean, the world really wants to tell you a lot of different things.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it was confusing time.
Well, and the enemy loves to confuse us, right? God is not a confusing God. He's a God of order and, you know, he's simple. And so when we're kind of bending more towards what the world is telling us, then everything starts to get confusing, right? Because it's just not coming from the Lord. And I can see the beauty of God pursuing you, even though you had no idea, but he was pursuing you to say, you know, leave the Mormon church, you know, and how the Lord sees like our beginning to our end. I mean, he sees it all. He's got an aerial view of what we're going to choose down the road. And so he so beautifully saw that later down, 20 years later, you will finally realize that he is your true creator and savior. And so I love that he pursues us even when we don't believe in him or are saved yet ourselves. And he still, you know, can gently steer us because he knows what our life is going to be about and all the different ways that we will serve them later on down the road, like you're doing. So that's so cool. And I can relate to when I joined that Bible study, just like you joined MOPS, you had this like innate desire to have what they had. And there's just no way of forcing that. You know, it's like you've got to do your part in, you know, diving in and getting to know God. And we all know that's through his word and praying. And it just, the Lord then just offers himself to us. But it's not anything that we can have somebody else give it to us. I was looking over at one of the leaders of the Bible study and she's like praying to the Lord and she was like looking up and I'm just like, oh my gosh, she's praying to him as if she can just totally see him. How amazing is that? Like that is like, how close of a relationship can you get? And I'm like, I want that. I just remember saying that to myself. So, okay, so I have to back you up a little bit. So what did you mean by feeling your son's soul?
I can't, I guess, maybe fully describe it in the fact that I just knew that it was life from that it wasn't just science, you know? He was true life with me. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you felt this way, but like, or other moms feel this way, but like, I feel like being pregnant, I was never alone. Like I truly had him with me, which was so cool. And my daughter the same way, but it did, you know, bring a certain level of responsibility that then I had to kind of try to figure out. And really it was my kids who ended up leading me to him even years down the road is why I came to him. So
Yeah, that's similar to my life. It was one of those where you're like, oh, you're no longer living like for yourself. Like you've got these kids and you know the truth. You know that God is who he is and you want them to grow in that. Well, you got to get your stuff together, you know, as a mom. And so it was my kids inspiring me because I wanted to be the best mom I could possibly be, but I knew I couldn't do that on my own. I had to do that through knowing the Lord, relying on his strength to, you know, help me mom. And so very similar path there. Okay. So then how did you really just seek him out and just full blown just be like, I'm all for Jesus.
Well, I'd love to say that it just like came naturally and all these, but no, it was hard. It was really hard. And it came, I think because to growing up in a legalistic religion that everything was works-based. So they say there's grace, but really grace only gets you to the lowest level of heaven. Really then it's works that bring you past that. So works
is this in the Mormon?
Yeah. Religion. And so everything is so much on works and mm-hmm. how you're presenting yourself to the world and in earning God's favor and becoming worthy because of what you do. And even though I had left the church, I kept so much crazy mindset stuff with me and beliefs with me years and years down the road. So as I was going through this whole journey over 20 years, that works-based mentality was 100% there. Like I was the one responsible. And the thing about it is that's what the world says too. That's what the, I mean, it's completely what the world says. I mean, a big thing is about you're enough, but you're enough because you do this and you're capable and you have this thing within you that makes you special and you just have to find it. And why aren't you finding it? Because everybody has this. And this whole works-based thing that I feel like in self-help is so prevalent that is so damaging because all it ends up making you feel like is if everybody says that I can do it all, why am I not being able to do it all? And I feel like a failure. And that's literally how I operated. I was always just striving for the next thing, always for the next thing, always in, and not putting anything in perspective, in a God perspective, but just in a doing the next thing, doing the next thing. And because of that, it kept me really busy and unfocused, I think, on my kids. And my kids then were getting older and spending a lot more time on the internet because mom was off doing all the things that she was going to accomplish, right? And here I have these young kids who then spend all this time on the internet. And if you don't give kids a foundation, I think a lot of people are afraid of doing too much God with their kids, like shoving it down their throat. I was afraid of this because that's kind of what I felt like I had had. So I didn't do anything. I didn't give them that foundation. I gave them nothing. And if you don't give kids a foundation, they're going to go seek and try to find other ways to fill up that hole. That's that God-sized hole that only he can fill.
Right.
So what ended up happening was the internet basically told my daughter every terrible thing there possibly could be about herself at time of adolescence, which is huge for a young girl when they're struggling so much anyways. And they just told her so much bad stuff. And I didn't even know this was going on. I was just kind of oblivious to this. Mm-hmm. And I think it was like almost 12 o'clock at night or something, she texted me, which is actually kind of funny. My daughter texted me from the other room and told me all of these issues that she was going through. And it was like God like dropped a sack of something over the top of my head. Like, I've been trying to tell you, how come you haven't been listening? Now here you go.
Right.
But, I mean, I know it wasn't intentional that way, but it was like this moment of clarity that was like, wow, Shelby, there is so much here. There's so much here that is happening right now. And it was like, it all suddenly made sense in a terrible way. But I guess, I mean, I just, at that moment, this is my big turnaround moment is at 2:30 in the morning, I realized there was nothing that I was going to be able to do, even though all this time I had been, what do I need to do? What do I need to be doing? How do I become worthy? How do I do all this? There was literally nothing that I was going to be able to do to help this situation. And that's when I discovered what true surrender was. I had never really understood what people said when it meant when they said that they surrendered their life to God. But at that moment, at 2:30 in the morning, I prayed to God like I had never prayed before. I don't think I'd ever actually prayed to him for real. But I prayed to him and I literally just said, I can't do this. I don't know how to do this. I can't figure this out. I recognize there is no way that I ever could. I need your help because I know you can help. And I don't even know where that came from. It was like, I think because innately we all know our creator. Mm-hmm. It's just maybe we put up a bunch of walls and I had put up so many walls. Mm-hmm. And I met him. I feel like I truly met him that night. Mm-hmm. Like he was with me and I felt peace like I had never known, despite the fact I was going through the hardest time of my entire life at that moment. Mm-hmm. And I feel like he told me, it's not going to be easy, but it's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And I just clung to that because he was right. Those months, that year after that was so hard. It was so hard. But everything that I did, I put in the perspective of what does he want me to do here? Not what I want to do. How am I going to control this? Mm-hmm. But what does he want me to do? And it completely changed my life, my kids' life, my marriage, my home, my business, everything. Everything changed. Everything changed overnight. And myself included. I mean, huge. I'm truly transformed. That's what they talk about. Truly transformed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was beautiful, but hard.
Yeah. I mean, and most of those times they're painful, you know, and the surrender of, you know, holding up that white flag. I mean, we've all been there, but on the other side is healing, and healing isn't comfy. You know, healing can be painful as we go through it. And I just love that beautiful story of just going, okay, Lord, I'm done doing. We have all been there. And I think especially with some of us women who bend more towards that. Like, I know I'm a doer and I feel good and filled up when I do things, you know? And I know I had a moment where I had to back it up and just be with God and not do for him necessarily, and just stop and pause and just take a little bit of a break, because the doing was taking over the becoming. And that's what God wants us, is the becoming. And that's what he delights in. And it's not what, you know, we can necessarily do for him, these accomplishments, these, you know, ways of doing this and that. And it's just becoming is growing in our character, coming closer to him and knowing what it is to be Christ-like. And really focusing on that. And we really have to start at that surrender point. And there's going to be all that, you know, stuff that needs to get cleared out before it gets better. And I love how you're just saying that that was the catalyst to having a better life. Yes, it was hard. And in the beginning, but then now your life has totally transformed and become beautiful, the ashes to beauty that he gives us. So cool. Yeah. So where are you at now? I love to just have you kind of share like more about not what you're doing, because we're talking about not doing, but how you're becoming more like him through your podcasting. I love your title, Finding Faith Above, and how you're helping others through your own story, what you went through, to point them to Jesus, to point them to that relationship and getting rid of those, you know, bad God ideas and those other religions that don't work. I love that, you know, you're putting your hands and your words to helping others just come alongside you and encouraging them with all biblical insights and everything that you talk about on your podcast. It's so cool. I mean, you've got wisdom and faith and just all the things that we need to learn about and grow in and therefore get filled up. And then we're able to pour that out onto others and serve them in that. So I love your mission. I love your ministry. So I just want you to just share more about what's going on in your life today and your kids and your marriage and all that.
Sure. Yes. Oh, he's so good. I mean, he's just so good how he works. And like I said, it's a journey. And from the beginning, he was working on me. You know, he talks about us being like clay, right? He molds us and he shapes us and all the different pieces of my life. And I think, you know, when I had my moment, another thing that I feel like God told me, and this is just crazy, but he told me to call my friend Vanessa. And I say friend, she's one of my absolute best friends now. And we were friends as kids, but I had not talked to her in 20 years. So where this came from, I mean, it could have only come from God, but he told me to call Vanessa. And so I called her, and she is one of the strongest Christian women I have ever known. I mean, she has such a relationship with him. And she was the exact person I needed to talk to. And he really spoke, I think, through her and helping me on this journey. And she did a little Bible study with me. And I just dove into his word, because I think when you fully trust him, when you say, I'm giving my life to you, and you fully trust him, reading the Bible is a completely different thing. And so then it brings me to Matthew, and it talks all about the fruit and Jesus not knowing you if you are not going in the right direction. Yeah. I'm like, wait a second. That was from 20 years ago. He was speaking to me. I mean, like, it's just so crazy.
Yeah.
But and I feel like he's constantly speaking to me through his word. And I think that has been the biggest thing that has changed my life, is really diving into his word. And so for my podcast, Finding Faith Above, I didn't know where that came from for a long time, but you know, James and the wisdom from above, that is where above comes from. Took me a little while to find that one. I feel like it's all these little, like I said, little breadcrumbs that he sprinkles through my life in just beautiful ways. But with Finding Faith Above, I really try, my focus in helping women is to allow them who are new believers in Christ to have a place where they can learn some of those very basic Christian beliefs, because it's very awkward at 40 years old or however old as an adult to not know some of these very basic things that people you're sitting right next to have known forever. And you'll say something that's maybe from your past religion or whatnot, and everybody looks at you like, what? Like, where did that come from? And so kind of getting over some of those old beliefs and introducing truth, like the real truth of who he is, so that you can build that relationship in a place where it's not awkward, that you're in good company with other women who are comfortable there too. And then, as new believers always are, you know, how do we then live in faith? Like, not just the exciting part of coming to him, but how do we maintain that? And how do we bring that into all aspects of our life? And how do we continue to trust him? And then how do we use our spiritual and creative gifts to give it back? How do we bring that? How do we bring that in doing, you know, the Great Commission, the last thing that Jesus told us to do, go ahead and make disciples of all nations. Like, how do we do that using what he's given us? And so, you know, I am an artist and I love to write. And so those are some of my gifts. And I try to bring that, and I try to encourage other women to then do the same thing. Like, how can, not through doing, but through using what he's given us. Yeah. So it's a different perspective. It's a change in like our mind shift, because that's, we're going from a place where we're trying to earn his worth to instead following him and loving him, but using things to still do. We're still doing things. We're doing great things. But where is it coming from? We're not doing it because we're trying to earn anything. We're doing it out of like an outpouring of his love in us because of this transformation that's happened. And so with my podcast, I really just try to take people on this journey, like the journey from the beginning all the way through your whole life. Mm. And I love it. It's my favorite thing I've ever done. I love it.
So good. And you're so good at it too. You just have podcast voice, you know? I love how you just described that. You know, it's out of our heart posture of just taking in God's creativity and you, and doing it through you. But the source is coming from him and not because you're trying to earn anything. That, I love that. So cool. All right. I love to have the guests just share a brief takeaway as we conclude this episode.
All right. So I'm going to read a verse really quick, because I think that all good inspiration and just guide for our life comes from his word. So Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. And if I could give anybody any advice, it's just get into his word, because people always ask, like, how does he speak to you? How do you hear him? How do you follow him? You follow him through his word. It's literally called his word for a reason. That's how he speaks to us. And then having that time to also speak with him as well. So it's a two-way street. You know, we speak to him through our prayers. And just like you were talking about your friend, you know, who she was praying and she was looking up at God as she was doing it, you know, having that time to just lay it all on him, because he can take it unlike anybody else in this world. And, and then having an open heart to be able to hear what he has to say back through his word.
So good. I know I always say have a dialogue. It's not a monologue. It's a dialogue with God and in your prayer life, and then hearing his voice. I mean, that was one thing I was seeking like crazy. I really, and reading his word and then just starting to get familiar with the, and I call it the heart ears, you know, like I just get it right there in my heart and I'm like, ooh, that's that familiar, you know, voice, you know, but it's not audible, but I'm feeling it in here. And it's just one of those incredible gifts that the Lord just gives us, that he wants to speak to us. We just have to give him the time to sit still and want it and just sit there no matter how long it takes, but just getting to know that familiar voice. And it goes back to that scripture of him being a shepherd, and the sheep are familiar with their shepherd's voice. And it's just continuously doing that and coming to him and being consistent and wanting that as your daily bread, right? They call it, you know, daily bread for a reason. It's your daily nourishment. And so thank you, Shelby, for sharing your story. And I know so many of us are encouraged by it. And where can people connect with you?
Sure. So findingfaithabove.com is probably the easiest place. It's my little corner of the internet. But then, you know, on podcasts and everything, it's Finding Faith Above. And that's, you know, on all the different social channels as well as podcasting.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening today. I trust that God has encouraged you through this message. For more information on this ministry and to access free downloads, please visit my website at jamieelizabeth.com and sign up. You can also find me on Instagram and Facebook at Jamie Elizabeth She Speaks Life. That's J-A-Y-M-E Elizabeth She Speaks Life. Until next time, my friends, I pray God reveals himself through your own life story.